Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today? You know what today is? TGIF. We have survived another week of coronavirus, ready to roll. Another work week put to bed, just about 4 hours of fun here. Lots to get to on a Friday. I am Craig Sheeman. Pete Shepard is on vacay playing his little Ryder Cup. We'll have to get an update from him, see how he's doing. We've got Chris on the other side of the glass. So it's Friday. We got a lot going on. And that includes Craig's Friday Sports Test brought to you by the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Win some big value there for the gift certificates, up to $75 there. Oh, that'll be fantastic. We're going to do Craigopedia instead of Wikipedia. I have no idea what the topic is. We'll get to that later on in the show. Chris will have the bubble report. I did watch some NBA last night. The Trailblazers in the playoffs by the thinnest of margins. We will have all that. Our good friend William Quackenbush will join us from the Clemson Radio Network. We will talk Clemson football, ACC football, coronavirus, the whole deal. And whether Dabo and he gets a championship if it counts. We'll get his opinion on all that today. And I should say we are under 3 hours now from the Miley Cyrus weekend countdown that you all feverishly look forward to. I'm looking at the text line already. I got four texts about Miley already. Skinamax, Cutler the Goat, Green Falcon, Second Father's Day. They're all ready to go for Miley Cyrus in the 5 o'clock kickoff into the weekend. So we will do all of that. As usual, if you would like to jump on at any time and be a co-host, for example, since Pete's not here, with your opinions, phone number is 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. That's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You could follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at Craig ESPN and Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. Chris, how are you today?
Fantastic. Friday. Excited. Got a busy weekend ahead of me. A lot happening, but the highlight comes Sunday at 3 when I will be making the number one overall selection in the Any Given Monday Fantasy Football League. And I'll go ahead and let all my buddies know right now, Christian McCaffrey is off the board. He's a member of the House Tigers this year, and he feels great about it, too. Feels great about it.
First of all, it's great if somebody's turning on the radio right now, and they're hearing fantasy football talk.
I've been mock drafting so hard this
week.
Have
you been working?
Yeah. Mock drafting really hard. Have had to do some extra exercises for the thumbs. Everything's on the phone these days. You don't want to cramp up when you're under the gun. 10 seconds left, round 9, and you got to decide between Carson Wentz as your backup quarterback or do you take the flyer on Preston Williams? I don't know.
Wow.
We'll see what happens when I'm in the moment.
Do you guys realize what you just heard? At 4 minutes past 2 o'clock on August 14th, 2020, that was actual fantasy football breakdown. We've got football. Look, what should we feasibly be? Should we be going into week two of the
week
preseason?
Week two of the preseason, right? Yeah.
We should have the Olympics going on. We should have week two of the preseason. There should be no basketball or hockey. We should have baseball. And we do everywhere but in St. Louis, so we have
That changes tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. They push back again today to tomorrow, and we'll have that. It's just a wonderful feeling to have, and to top it off with fantasy football chit-chat. Now, I have a question for you, Chris, before we get into your rundown.
By the way,
we have some stellar news for people here.
Oh, locally, great news.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a minute, or maybe you'll have it on your You are usually in, if I'm not mistaken, about 3 fantasy football leagues a year, maybe 4? 3?
I've never done 4.
Okay.
3 has been my max,
right.
And 3 is where I will... 3? No, two this year. I will just be in two this year.
Which one did you drop? Not that it means anything to our listeners.
Did I drop any? No, I'm sorry. I'll be in three. No, I'm sorry. I miscounted.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Now, you mentioned that you have the first pick in the draft. Now, this is just kind of a little haze in the background of my memory here.
Yeah.
But it seems like to me, Chris, every league you're ever in, it seems like you've always got the first pick of the draft. How do you do this?
I've been pretty lucky of the two drafts or the three drafts last year. I had the number one pick.
Even when I played in two of the leagues, I had
the number one pick.
Yeah.
Saquon was the pick number one overall last year. He wasn't the highest scoring running back, but he got a lot of touches.
Yeah.
And if you take out the three, four week stretch where he got hurt against the Bucks, he was right there, top of the league. Doesn't get the volume in the passing game that a guy like Christian McCaffrey gets, but close enough. So this year, the draft has only been set in one of my three leagues right now, the order. So I'm one for one, number one overall.
Now, it's funny how in real life we devalue running backs. But in fantasy, that's still the go-to, get your guy early.
You know, it is, but it is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. But looking around the league this year, there are opportunities that I just feel like you didn't really have last year, right? Like, I was kind of hesitant to go all in on Todd Gurley last year because he was going as one of the first five, six, seven picks in the draft.
Yeah.
Coming off of the knee in the postseason. This year, you can get Todd Gurley in like the seventh round, sixth round, right? So like now all of a sudden, Todd Gurley might have some value picking him in the sixth round, where last year in the first round, I tried to tell everybody, don't do it.
Right.
Not a smart move.
Right.
I don't know. Seems like there are more opportunities. There are more one running back backfields this year. It seems to me like that's the case.
Okay. Greg and Lehigh says, doesn't the worst team in the league usually get the first pick the following year?
Nope.
No,
not
you guys do a
fantasy.
Lottery system,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. Okay. Not a lot. It's just names out of a hat.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and that's this weekend. This Sunday.
That's Sunday. Sunday, 3 o'clock. We got our Zoom meeting all set up.
All right. Very nice. Good luck with that. All right. We have some stellar news. I presume you have it here, Chris.
Yep.
It is time for our first SportsCenter rundown of the day. Here's Chris.
All right, let's get right into it. The FHSAA has voted to allow fall sports, including football, to start on August 24th. Most high school football programs will play their first games on September 4th. If that's not the case for your kid's high school football program, text me. Let me know. Florida State coach Mike Norvell said his team, quote, is on the same page, end quote, one day after a trio of receivers took to Twitter, offering concerns about testing and transparency around the coronavirus. And the Bulls have fired Jim Boylan. And if you knew that Jim Boylan was the head coach
bonus
of the Bulls,
points.
Good for you.
Bonus points for you if
good
you
good for you. Last Bulls coach I can name, Tom Thibodeau. there was the Iowa State guy. Who's the Iowa State guy?
Hold on.
Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg.
Hoiberg. Yeah, I believe this guy, though, his winning percentage was .317.
That's, not good.
That's not good under any circumstance. All right, I want to hear from you parents of high schoolers in the area who are playing sports. When you heard this today, you were anticipating this announcement. And I mean, well, I don't know if you were anticipating the specific announcement, but you were anticipating an announcement, whether it was going to be we're going to play or we're not going to play or we're going to delay. How do you feel about it? Are you comfortable with your sons playing football? Are you comfortable with your kids playing the sports in the fall, particularly contact sports? Would love to hear from you. Have you already been in touch with your coaches and your kids' coaches and the protocols that will be in place? You know, we made the argument yesterday. We can make an argument that the college football player at Clemson is pretty safe. They're in their own world. They're in their own facility. They got testing every day. You're not going to have testing every other day as a high school student, and then high school kids generally go about the rest of their lives, whether it be in school and playing football, going to the grocery store, running errands with the family. Maybe you go out to restaurants. They have a lot more exposure, I think, to COVID and possibility of getting than the college athlete. But, I mean, are you okay with it? I really would like to hear from you parents out there at 239-337-ESPN. I'm not here knocking the decision. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear that we're moving forward and we're going to play football. But I don't my kids don't play sports, so I don't know how you feel about that. Also, Chris, the August 24th start date for practice and what have you. Help me out with the math. That's a lot later than it normally is. Usually we're playing.
Yeah.
Usually we're playing the first game like August 31st, September, or even earlier.
No,
maybe?
Earlier than that. Yeah,
like maybe this weekend, mid August, will we have our first?
I think it was next weekend.
Okay.
Or next Friday night should have been the first. Yeah. The first games. So
okay.
Tonight, I guess, should have been the.
So we're just a couple weeks behind schedule.
Jamborees or the kickoff classics or you
what
know
a great time of year those are.
Oh, fantastic!
All right. Well, I'd like to hear from your parents out there again. 239-337 ESPN 239-337-3776. Thumbs up. You're nervous about it. You feel great about it. Would love to hear about it. But the announcement today: Florida High School Athletic Association says play ball. Got the dates. August 24th, they can start. First games will be around September
5th. No details on if parents will have to sign waivers or anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that.
Right.
So I'd imagine it's opt-in if you want, opt-out if you don't. You know,
maybe the parents could tell us that, too.
Parents
here might have more information than we do right now, although this decision just came down today, so I don't know.
Came down within maybe an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, and that's statewide. Yeah. So
statewide, yeah. Now, you know, if certain counties of schools don't reopen, I don't know what that means for the athletics. I wouldn't imagine that they would open, but I know like Lee County, I think is planning on going back August 31st.
Yeah,
I believe is the first day Lee County's scheduled to go back. Now, if that gets pushed back, and does the August 24th date stay in place? Will we be allowed to play football without school?
Interesting.
I can't imagine it, but I don't know.
I heard there was a deal. Some kids go to whatever different schools. If you decided to opt out of physically going to your school and do it online, you then had to play sports for the school that you were closest, that you're kind of supposed to go to geographically, that's near you. I know the deal in Lee County. Kids are all over the place.
Yeah.
Collier County, it's a little more, the lines are drawn a little more steadily. But yeah, a lot of weird rules. This is the first time we've had to deal with a lot of this stuff. But, would love to hear from the parents at 239-337-ESPN about all of that. Now, as we move up to college football and college sport, Mark Emmert spoke yesterday. In fact, we'll hear some of this on Sound Street later on. Mark Emmert, the president of the NC2A. First of all, and some of this we talked about yesterday. You mentioned there'll be no NCAA championships for fall sports, but he has no control over Division I football. But he said all the other sports, all the other teams, and this includes the FCS, formerly 1AA, they can't do it. He said, we have less. He said, interesting, he said, we have less than 50% of the schools participating. They're not legitimate championships that we're playing for. Does that mean if he was in charge of Division I football, would he feel the same way? Because we asked this same question about Dabo Swinney yesterday. Is this a legitimate championship if you go on to win? You know, under Mark Emmert, if he were in charge, he might say no. In fact, he might cancel it altogether. But he bent over backwards to explain how he has no control over Division I football and the Power Fives, and we'll hear this later on at South Street, it wouldn't work to have a czar or a commissioner for all of football, which I think is bogus because I've been calling that since I came out of the womb. I mean, it's just forever. It just makes sense. You got to have somebody in charge like that. But he also talked about how he may try to implement the bubble for college basketball in March Madness. He admits, 64 teams in one city might be a little difficult at first. You get it down to 32 teams, it's still tough. But once you get Sweet 16, it's a layup, he says. So I'm kind of thinking through that process and how that would work. He talked about that yesterday. But, no authority whatsoever with Power Fives. Also, you know, the sky is blue, the water is wet, and the sun sets in the west. Thank you, Mark.
I mean, he did everything short of coming out and saying, no, I'm useless.
Yeah. I'm useless.
He should have. It would have been a lot more succinct than, tiptoeing around the point he was trying to make all afternoon or whenever he did this interview with the NCAA.
Yes.
Yes, the same company he's the president of, he did the interview with.
Right.
Why go have real questions asked of you by, you know, the media?
No, you don't want to put yourself in harm's
way. No,
you got to sidestep all that.
Exactly.
I did hear a few rumblings from ACC players now talking about their safety during COVID. Are they going to be the next group to put pressure on their conferences and not play and bail? I know the ACC presidents met yesterday. I didn't hear one word yesterday or last night in the news or social media regarding what the ACC presidents discussed last night. Did you hear anything? I heard zero.
I saw a follow-up tweet. The tweet that we read during the show yesterday was from Matt Baker, who we've had on from the Tampa Bay Times. He said that at 4:30, the ACC presidents were supposed to meet to provide a final decision on football for the fall this year.
Right.
He followed that up with a tweet at about 6:30. I think that's when I texted you or when I saw it, at least. Right. And he said, well, ... business as usual. It's not a final decision, but it is their decision right now to move forward.
So as of now, we're still playing. And
really, nothing's changed. It was not a final decision in any way. It's just as of now, ACC presidents still believe that they can move forward. So we have had all three conferences come out this week and say, yeah, we're still moving forward.
It seems like they wobbled a little bit, though. Going into the meeting saying, this is our final decision. And coming out saying, well, as of now,
you know what I think
it's our final decision.
The ACC and SEC crossover is probably the most of any two conferences in college football. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at it where schools in Kentucky, you know, Louisville and Kentucky, South Carolina, Clemson, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida, Florida State. So there's a lot of crossover, and I don't know how it would have looked if you've got, you know, you're telling Clemson, hey, you guys can't play football this year. Meanwhile, just down the road at South Carolina, they're playing football, as Kirby Smart said, with some fans in the stands.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, not Kirby Smart. The athletic director said, we're going to have 20,000 people at Bryce Williams every Saturday.
Very good. All right, so all that to digest here today. Notre Dame, now in the ACC for this year, announced that they had 117 players tested, got two tested positive. So that's... barely more than 1%, right? I mean, that's still pretty good. Two out of 117, I would think. That's not
I mean, I saw a tweet today that, you know, Michigan, even though they're not playing any fall sports this year, they're still conducting testing with their student athletes. And of all the student athletes, it was a 0.26% positivity rate.
Yeah. Okay.
0.26.
That's less than a third of a percent.
It's crazy.
That's about a quarter of a percent.
Okay. One out of every 400 were testing positive.
That's a very good ratio. Very good.
I don't know how you're going to do better than that.
No. No.
Yeah. And we've got, and Notre Dame has had students, I think I heard Mike Golick, Jr., I should say, saying it before us today, that Notre Dame students were back on campus this week, and most of the other ACC schools' students get on campus next week.
Yeah.
So...
okay.
Again, well, that's what I want to see. That's what I'm really curious for. Let's see what happens when we've got 20,000 to 40,000 undergrads converging from across the country on one area. Let's just see. I don't know. I'm not going to have any expectations for it, good or bad.
Are we going to know much, though? Because those kids aren't going to go get tested three times a week.
They're not going to go get tested three times a week, but we'll see how the athletic numbers, the athletes will still be tested three times a week.
Yeah.
Let's see if those numbers start to increase once the student population really bubbles up in these on campus.
Does Trevor Lawrence really mingle with most of the general population of the student body?
I don't know.
I think he's still in his football bubble probably most of the hours of the week.
I don't know.
Technically, he's still got to go to class.
I don't know if, like, I don't know what the Greek rushing process will be for fraternities and sororities this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I if I'm Trevor Lawrence and we've got freshmen on the football team who are you know, trying to become a part of whatever fraternity, I'm like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Do it next semester. You know, pledge next semester. Don't do it this semester. We gotta keep this thing in-house as tight as possible. But that's 15 schools across the ACC. You know, it's a lot to ask.
It is. It is. I see New Mexico State has postponed football. By the way, they're an independent.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, the football season is over.
Lobos.
I got some texts coming in. Parents really didn't want to call in and talk about this Florida High School Athletic Association decision. Packerbacker says, my sixth grade daughter is already starting cheer practice. It goes to ECS. 239 with a good question. Will fans be allowed to high school football games?
Huh.
Yeah, that's a huh. I don't know. Maybe parents only? Family only? I don't know.
Would I, who have nobody
on the team, can I just randomly go to a game? Every once I like to. But anyway.
Yeah, good question. I haven't heard an answer on that.
Oh, my daughter must be listening. She just texted that she could tell you about the Greek rushing process this semester. Okay. All right. Give me a call. 239-337-ESPN. Let's see here. Will Collier County have referees this year? Nate Palmer.
I think so.
Well,
I think so.
Now, let me go back in my memory machine. Last year, I think the referees took one on the chin just to get the ball moving, and they were promised something this year. But we don't rep, you know, I'm anticipating revenues down this year. The gate will be, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I believe they'll be good. And we have a referee that, I forget his name, he calls every time we talk about these subjects and gives us some pretty good information. Let's see here. Swish and Beg. Preseason classics would have been on the 21st. So that'll be next weekend. A lot of programs aren't doing freshman or JV games this year. And all refs have to wear masks and use the electronic whistles. Kentucky Tim said they got rid of that rule, Craig, that I referred to earlier about whether if you stay at home and do school, now you're going to have to play for the team closest to you as opposed to the one that you go to. So they did get rid of that rule. Okay. And Cougar Hunter says Gateway Charter School started on the 24th. New teachers are at school already. Close friend is a teacher. Getting the inside scoop on the school news. Let's see here. Thirsty Nick said I had to sign a COVID waiver, and so did all my athletes to participate in summer workouts at Lee Public School. Tire God said, I heard mom and dad's only at Cypress Lakes for games. Interesting. 239 said, I went to my family pediatrician yesterday to ask their opinion about sending my kids back to school and also going back to school myself because I'm a teacher. The pediatrician said, you had a simple rule. If your family's healthy, your kid is healthy, send them. The end. I thought that was short, sweet, and profound. All right. Very good. Let's go to the phones. Yo, 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 a frequent texter and sometimes caller. He's a coach at Pop Warner. Let's find out how he's handling things. Yo, 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 what's up?
What's going on, guys? Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. So how are you handling things?
I was telling Chris we have a little inside joke going on right now that if parents aren't allowed in the stands, how are we going to know as coaches when we're messing up?
Well, they're right. Because they're coaches in the stands, you know.
I mean, you know, that's how we gauge our performance is by how loud the parents are yelling.
Right. I believe you.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, man. Appreciate it. I actually didn't want him to hang up that fast because I wanted to ask him how he's handling it with his kids. But anyway.
Well, they're practicing.
Yeah,
they're going for it.
Let it go. 239.
So we've got Pop Warner. We got high school football.
Yeah.
We got NFL, all being played in the state.
Yes. We got half of college football.
Well, in this state, we got 100%.
We got
FAU and FIU. Do we know about those schools yet?
I don't know. Do we?
Let me check.
I mean, I know we got the U. We got Florida State. We got the Florida Gators. We're all rolling. All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. I want to hear from you if you're sending a kid to play athletics, if you're feeling good about it. The Florida High School Athletic Association said, green light, we're going. Start August 24th. That is in 10 days. First games, September 4th.
Conference USA is moving forward, so FAU and FIU will be playing as well.
Okay.
So we're batting 1,000 in this state, you know, outside of the Marlins.
Right. But they're even back.
Not all the players are back, and they're still winning baseball games. Watch out, Braves.
Yeah.
Watch out, Atlanta.
I'm wondering who's the more interesting story so far, the Marlins or the freaking Rays, who are putting up basketball-like numbers.
Well, they are, but they're also going up against the Red Sox. And this is not a shot on the Red Sox fans or anything. Their pitching is like single-A low-ball level.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrendous. The Rays put up 17 on them last night.
Unbelievable. Didn't you have the over on that? Because it was...
No, I went under on the Cubs-Brewers. That under 8.5, there were 6 runs in that game. So winner, winner, chicken
dinner. I thought you told me
dinner.
On your way out that was a stone-cold lock because it was the A, It was the Red Sox pitching was as bad, but it was the back end of their rotation, and there was going to be a lot of runs. I thought you called that.
I
before
might
you
have said that
show.
As well. My lock of the night on air last night was Cubbies Brewers under 8.5, okay. Hit 6 runs, but I might have said that. That sounds right.
Sounds about right.
I haven't been throwing a lot on nighttime action over the last week or so, but I'm big on this UFC fight card on Saturday night.
I know nothing about it. Who is it? What's going on?
Cormier and Miocic.
Okay. And is it on a special island somewhere? Where's the fight?
Is it Fight Island? I'm not sure.
Well, Dana White, he's been doing this thing at a
special... No, they're in Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby!
They're in Las Vegas, yeah.
Is this the first major sporting event in Vegas since the pandemic? Yes!
No, they held another fight in Vegas in front of no crowd.
So will this be in front of no crowd?
Yeah, this will be in front of no crowd as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But both Miocic and Cormier both made weight. Miocic, 233. Cormier, 236.
All right.
Which I guess they're heavyweights, so there's, you know, of course they made weight. But
how much are those guys?
233, 236.
Well, both weigh more than I do nowadays.
Good for you.
Oh, I'm rolling.
Good for you.
I'm steamrolling, man. Dying for a pizza.
Yeah.
Dying for some like a blizzard. Yeah, you know, Dairy Queen, stupid Dairy Queen. Yeah. They put those commercials on right now with the new blizzard flavors, and it drives me nuts because I want one.
You know what my problem is?
What?
My mom has, you know, she'll take my kids for an afternoon or whatever, and their big thing is they like baking, which is great.
Oh yeah.
Until a gallon bag of chocolate chip cookies show up at my house.
Yes.
It's like last night. I ate great yesterday. Like a pub sub for lunch, no breakfast, nice light dinner, chicken and rice. It was a very good day.
Yeah.
And then 9:30 rolls around, Shark Week's on, and then I see a bag of chocolate chip cookies.
I know.
Then my stomach hurts.
Yada, yada, yada. Yada, then yada. My stomach hurts. I am telling you, that's exactly how it goes in my house if it's around. The later it gets, the weaker the willpower is.
It really, because
right?
Nobody's like around.
You start the day gung ho. You know, all right, today I'm gonna eat well, healthy breakfast, healthy lunch. You know, I told my wife I shouldn't do this. So, you know, when dinner's not on the table, when I roll in at 6:30, I get the munchies. That's a dangerous time for me. And so I joke because I love, I kid, I care. So, honey, dinner's not on. What do you mean dinner's another 30 minutes? I'm going to put on 30 pounds because dinner's not ready for 30 minutes. I am so irritating. Oh, goodness. All right. Take your phone calls at 239-337-ESPN. Got some NFL news. The NBA bubble playoffs are set. I have some comments from last night as well. Don't forget, we got a new lineup starting on Monday. This show not affected because this is the national ESPN radio network. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning. Their debut is Monday morning. Get up, check it out. See if you like. I really enjoyed our conversation with J. Will yesterday. In fact, we talked to him. We talked to Keyshawn. We talked to Zubin. Dan Le Batard will now be from 10 to noon. Mike Greenberg is back. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's pretty excited about the show. Greeny will be on from noon to 2. That leads in. That's our new lead-in, the Sheeman and Shepherd, which remains 2 to 6. Right here, the all-new ESPN radio lineup debuting Monday, August 17th. Sheeman and Shepherd warming up on a Friday, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter, at PSHEP326 and at CraigESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a Friday. Pete on vacation till Monday. That means I'll be stepping in for another edition of Craigipedia at 4:45. What is the topic today, Chris? I gotta get one. I gotta get a feather in my cap.
So I'm combining a couple different topics. We do music theme on a Friday.
Oh, kind of Name That Tune. That's right.
But we're not doing Name That Tune. So I've got questions about
lyrics.
There's songs about states or cities.
Oh, that kind of from what we talked about yesterday.
We talked about yesterday, exactly. So roundabout questions. I'll give you lyrics. I'll give you an artist and what year. You got to give me the state. Something along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it'll be fun. We're trying it out. If it's not, then we'll never do it again.
Okay. No, I'll be the guinea pig for that. I like that. We've also got Craig's Friday Sports Test brought to you by the Boathouse in Naples Bay at 3:45. Looking forward
Big
to that.
Big fan of the three questions this week.
Yeah, they're excellent.
Good questions this week.
They're very good. And also, William Qualkenbush Just like saying his name. That's why we have him on. He'll be on the show at 3:30. He's with the Clemson Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on Clemson football and the ACC and what's going on there. In case you're just tuning in, the Florida High School Athletic Association has announced game on. All sports, including football. You can start practicing August 24th.
FGCU just putting this announcement out. The ASUN Conference has announced the fall 2020 competition schedule has been postponed. This will impact FGCU's men's soccer, women's soccer, volleyball, men's and women's cross-country programs. This does not impact winter sports such as basketball, swimming, and diving.
Okay. So kind of expected that, I guess. Sad to hear. Kind of ruins my jovial experience of hearing that Florida High School athletics are going to start in 10 days. And then Florida Gulf Coast says, not so much on the fall sports. A couple of texts real quick. 6'3" must have been listening at the end of the show yesterday where I was acting like a prima donna radio host and demanding new things in my next contract, like a car service. Somebody to carry an umbrella for me out in that deluge I had to get in my car in yesterday. What else? I made some other demands. Anyway, we were talking about food just now, and he said add food service to Craig's new contract. Yes, we should have a catered lunch here for the staff each and every day. That'd be nice. And I was complaining about dinner not on the table at 6:30 when I walk in the door. Tom Brady is Thanos texted in, so Craig got the munchies, huh? Wonder why. Now, I don't get those kind of munchies. I don't do that. So I generally, genuinely am hungry when I roll through the door at the end of a hard day of being on the radio. So Country Sucks says, hashtag part-time Pete. I know, well, he was off a week a little while ago, and he took a couple more days. I kind of did the same thing.
It's the time of the year. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to do it in the summer, and then, you know, we're game on. Like, not like the Big Ten or the Pac-12, but we motor through the fall.
But like
fall
the FHSAA, we're going to play this fall.
Yes, yes. He also says Pete works less days than Congress. Like Pete and I think we both took a week in July, and we both took a four-day weekend here in August to take care. I had personal stuff to do. He's doing his thing. You know, Chris has gone every other four-day weekend. That's fine. It's fine. It's just time.
I'm eyeing a five-day weekend coming up, but nothing's on the books yet.
Oh, really?
Nothing's on the books yet.
Is that your sooner, or was this your wasted Masters November weekend?
No, I've got those 2 days to play with where I don't know.
Yeah.
Because part of me just wants to use them like right in the middle of October. But then
your birthday.
Well, but then the program director in my head goes, no, October, fall book, football, you can't take off in October. So then, you know, maybe the Master, I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't be going to the Masters, obviously, but I might take off just to watch.
Right. Oh, I got to tell you something. This won't change your mind or impact you at all. When you're there, when we are on the air those Thursdays, those are some of the most too fun. It's not quite like March Madness, but it's fun.
Yeah, it sounds
it's fun on the
way you guys describe it. It makes me almost not want to go to the Masters.
Except not.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Now, this is funny. And I saw that you tweeted something out. Was this this morning about the football rankings? I think this is interesting because yesterday – we were joking about the spring rankings of college football. Like, there's only, you know, with only the Big Ten and the Pac-12 going, are we going to have college rankings? And since there's 26 teams in those two leagues, are we just going to have the top 25 consist of those two leagues for the most part? I mean, and I think we decided on the air, Rutgers, leave them out. They would be 26. Rutgers would be others receiving votes.
Yeah.
Trying to get in. And maybe they wouldn't receive any votes. And then we'd have the top 25. But I see you found, looks like from the fifth quarter, a new coaches poll minus the canceled teams. I think we should do this, actually. If you don't have it, I have it pulled up.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now.
I've got it. Now, by any chance, did this take did this take a legitimate coaches poll from this offseason and just eliminate teams, or were they kind of being tongue-in-cheek?
The tweet reads, the coaches poll minus canceled teams.
Okay.
So
this is legit, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, legit. This is your top 25.
All right. Do you want to do some list music and I'll run them down? I think sure. This is amusing. This is So this is the coaches poll that's already been out minus the canceled teams. Here's how it looks like.
Now, a list.
25, Virginia. 24, Navy. 23, App State.
If you're Virginia, like App State, hey, we're ahead of you.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's funny to me. I'm sorry.
Miami just barely ahead of App State at 22. Louisville, 21. Baylor in at 20. There we go. Memphis, Kentucky, Tennessee, Iowa State. At 15, Virginia Tech. 14, Cincinnati Bearcats. At number 13, Central Florida. Central Florida just can't get
inside past 13.
And right in front of them, a pretty darn good team, North Carolina, and a team they're supposed to play.
Yep. It's three years in a row now. Yeah. UCF just gets shafted with their ACC opponents.
At number 11, Oklahoma State. By the way, I got a funny story later on about a former Oklahoma State wide receiver, or cornerback, by the way, with the Seattle Seahawks. Here's your top 10. Again, the coaches poll minus the canceled teams. Texas.
They're back.
They're back. They're always back.
They're back.
At number 9, Texas A&M. I've seen a lot of polls and a lot of noise where Texas and Texas A&M are right there with each other no matter what poll you look at.
Yeah, too bad they don't play each other.
I know. Used to be a tradition. At number 8, Auburn, War Eagle, or go Tiger, probably War Eagle. At number 7, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. The Florida Gators, go Gators at number 6. Oklahoma at number 5. LSU at number 4, so here's your playoff teams. LSU,
go Tigers.
At number 3, needing help with the cancellation of the majority of college football.
Firmly in the top 4.
Georgia at number 3, followed by number 2, Alabama. And your number 1 team in the coaches poll, whether we have canceled teams or not, squarely at number 1, the Clemson Tigers. Pretty good list. And speaking of Clemson, William Quackenbush of the Clemson Radio Network will be with us next hour. Get his thoughts on what's going on.
Got to be honest with you, Craig. You're running through that top 10, and I'm saying, yep, everybody's there except Ohio State. I'm sorry, maybe Penn State? Maybe Penn State.
Where was Michigan in the previous coaches' poll? I think they were top 15, weren't they? Pretty sure. So yeah, and then maybe you're throwing in Oregon somewhere.
I don't need Oregon. I'm sorry. I know what Oregon is. Yeah. Oregon is going to beat every team they're supposed to beat out of the Pac-12, and then when they face somebody from another conference, it's not going to go their way. Ohio State was going to beat them in week 2. They were done. They were crossed off the list. It was an imaginary line right through them.
Yeah. All right. Getting some interesting texts coming in. My man Otis says he talked to a coach friend of his. No waivers yet, but he seems to feel that there will be something to sign for the parents. But he's stoked about practice. That's right, August 24th.
Penn State was 7. Oregon was 9. Wisconsin was 12. Minnesota was 18. Utah was 20.
Michigan was not a top 25 team?
Michigan was 15th.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Where was that? Utah 20, Iowa 23, and Iowa... No, Iowa State's playing. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how does that make sense?
I don't know.
Iowa can't play.
Right. It's
too much. But the Cyclones, go for it, Matt Campbell.
How far are they? They're pretty close?
They're 25, so I mean, they moved up.
No, I mean, distance-wise. What, a couple cornfields apart?
What's Ames to Iowa City? Is that where Iowa is?
I've never been to Iowa. I don't even know. Let's see here. Gator Nurse says, hey, guys, look what happened to Golic when he took all that vacation. Oh, come on now. That's a cheap shot. New lineup debuting on Monday. Gas bag. Have you talked about the Dodgers pitcher's comments after the Astros incident last week? You forgot about it yesterday. Yes, and I made note of that at the end of the show. I am going to get into that today.
Just over 2-hour drive from Ames to Iowa City.
You tell me COVID can't travel 2 hours?
Not through Cedar Rapids and Marshalltown. That's ghost, Highway 30.
Ghost towns.
No, Cedar Rapids?
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Do they have a building more than 2 stories tall there?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Memphis Tom says University of Tennessee should have been higher.
Let's see what they're like when they're playing meaningful games.
Right.
Let's see. I know they beat Indiana to close out their season last year.
I walked right into it.
All-time comeback. But, you know, it's easy when there's no pressure on you. When you've already lost to Florida, you've already lost to Georgia, your best shot is getting third on your side of the SEC. There's really not a lot to play for there. You can kind of let loose against Alabama and keep it close for a half, which they did.
Right.
Let's see what happened. I think Pruitt will get it turned around.
Yeah.
I just don't know what turned around at Tennessee looks like anymore because they've been down for so long.
Yes. Dopey said, Georgia's now number 3. Eat it, Craig. Gator Nation says LSU should not be a top 5 ranked team. They lost a lot.
There's part of me that agrees with that. But then there's also, hey, they're the defending champs. Somebody's got to knock them off. Somebody's got to knock them off.
Yes. Grand Poobah, is Rutgers playing? They're in the Big Ten, or did I miss something on a joke? Yes, I set the story up, Grand Poobah, by yesterday. Chris and I were wondering what the spring college top 25 would be when the Big Ten plays in the spring. And between the Big Ten and the Pac-12, there are 26 teams. We do a top 25. I said Rutgers would be left out. And then we had this coach's poll minus the canceled team. So that's what you missed that. Let's see here. Size 15 shoes says, do the non-playing coaches vote in the coaches poll? It's a good question. Don't know. This was just simply an exercise where we just crossed off the teams that are no longer playing. And let's see. What else we got? I think that's about it. A lot of guys texting in about Iowa and how far their cities are apart. All right.
Hey, so he's from Cedar Rapids. Almost 300,000 people there, Craig. How about that?
That's bigger than I thought.
It's about 30% the size of Southwest Florida. We have about 1 million in our metro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which includes 3 cities, air quotes.
Right.
Towns, whatever.
Yeah. All right.
And he also says Iowa City to Ames, 1.5 hours. Google says 2 hours, 9 minutes, but that's going the speed limit. So
that's the speed limit.
Yeah, apparently you can book it in Iowa.
Is it just like a 2-lane highway between the two cities with a lot of cornfields on both sides?
Highway 30. Actually, to get out of Des Moines, you're going to have to, or to get out of Iowa City, you're going to have to take, is that Highway 6?
I've talked more Iowa than I ever have in my career. And we're not even talking football.
I-80. Sorry. You're going to have to take I-80.
Yeah.
Yeah, I-80 to US 30, and that'll get you Iowa City to Ames.
Gotcha.
Little construction outside of Ames right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Got a little red mark on
the
highway. A
little bit of construction zone. Yeah, it's road work on 240th Street, US 30.
Okay, very good. Hey, don't forget tonight, Red Sox Yankees on 99.3 ESPN. Coverage starts at 6:30, first pitch at 7:30. The Red Sox on 99.3 ESPN in Southwest Florida, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. We've got Sound Street. Mark Emmert, the leader of the NCAA, speaks next. Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepard.
All right, here we go. We're going to hear from the fearless leader, Mark Emmert of the NC2A. You're going to hear a lot of, I can't do this, I can't do that, we can't do this. There was talk, of course, of some schools maybe going rogue and leaving their conferences earlier this week when the Big Ten and Pac-12 shut down. That's also been shut down. Nobody's really going anywhere. Mark Emmert, though, says that he cannot prevent colleges from jumping to another conference. This is from the, I guess, the NCAA website or podcast. Anyway, here's Mark Emmert.
We don't have authority to say to a school, yeah, okay, we know that your conference isn't playing, but if you want to go ahead and play over here, I may think that's a silly idea, but it's not up to me. It's not up to anybody. That school has its own authority to do that. Now, its conference colleagues could say, you know, if you do that, we're going to throw you out of the conference. That's fine. But they still can do what they want there. That's never been the prerogative of the NCAA. And in my opinion, it never should be.
Okay. That's Mark Emmert on what he can't do, shouldn't do. Here's more. He said that because I've always long said that there should be some sort of czar or a sports commissioner of college football like the NFL. He doesn't think so. In fact, he says you can't do it.
College football playoff and the old BCS is nothing more than a series of contractual agreements among those 10 conferences to say, let's talk about how we want to end the year. And they came together with this model and it works remarkably well. I get that people want simple answers. I get that it's frustrating that some conferences are playing and some aren't. Right now, that's just the way it has to be to do this inside college sports. That's not right or wrong or better or worse. And when people say, well, if we just had a czar that come in and say, we're going to make a decision, that'll be it. You know, history, if it's taught us anything, people love the concept of a czar. They hate czars.
Well, okay, we're talking real like a Russian czar from the 1700s. Yeah, one for sports. No, we have them
well,
in all sports.
Well,
what?
Our co-host Pete Shepard, I don't think has ever said a nice word about a single commissioner and his decision on anything ever in his life. So I hear what Mark Emmert is saying right there, where if you have one guy at the top of the mountain making unilateral decisions, there are going to be poor decisions made that people still won't like those decisions that are being made.
I know you're probably right about that. You're very right. But again, what we have now, I could not have conceived in my wildest dreams. I could have conceived of no season. I could have conceived of a season in the spring. I could conceive of a season that started and then had to stop. I never in my wildest dreams thought we'd have some splitting off going into the spring and some remaining in the fall, ever.
Agree with you there. Yeah. I think what needs to be done, though, is there needs to be more information, I guess, more communication when a conference makes a groundbreaking decision like deciding to just not play an entire fall sports schedule. I think that there should be communication between the conference commissioners at that point, but I'm kind of with them where a czar would just piss people off. It'd just be all on one person instead of splitting it between Kevin Warren and Larry Scott.
Yeah, well, Kevin Warren and Larry Scott were yelling at them, Swanky, Bowlesby. I mean, they're all going a different direction. Look, whether I can praise somebody or criticize somebody, I want somebody, a one person on the top making the decision. And then that's where it flows down. Now, Chris, feast your mind on this for a moment. Here's more from Mark Emmert. He's thinking about creating a bubble for some sports, like college basketball and March Madness. Take a listen.
If we modify the model, which we need to do anyway because of the virus, if we modify the model, shrink the bracket sizes, do everything in predetermined sites instead of running kids around the country, use predetermined sites, move toward bubbles or semi-bubble models in volleyball, let's say, or soccer, there's a way to do it. Will it be normal? Of course not. You'll be playing a fall sport in the spring. Will it create other conflicts and challenges? Of course. But is it doable? Yeah, it is doable. And we want to do that. We want to, again, make it work for these students.
All right. Mark Emmert with that. So maybe March Madness in a bubble. We got selection Sunday and then all the teams go into a location and go into lockdown.
But there's no reason to make this decision yet.
Right.
There isn't.
That's mid-March.
But let's get actual data once students get back on campus. And we've heard all about this second wave. We also heard how there was going to be virtually no cases once we got to the middle of summer.
Right.
That proved not to be the case in the warmest places across America.
Nothing's been right.
So nothing's been right this entire process. So trying to plan for something 8 months down the road, not 8 months. No, 8 months down the road,
yeah,
a little silly.
Let's just use the SEC football season as the guinea pig. It just means more.
Yeah.
All right. More later on in the interest of clock management, which we fell a little behind here. We'll hear Mike Norvell from Florida State. He's trying to hold his team together. They keep revolting on him. And the latest from inside the NBA bubble, William Quackenbush will join us at the bottom of next hour. He's from the Clemson Tiger Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on the ACC and football and Clemson and Trevor Lawrence and company. All that. Plus, Craig's Friday sports test from the Boathouse in Naples Bay. We got a big 3 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.